Hi, everyone, and welcome to this podcast. I'm Jose George, a director in the CDH Employment Law Department. What I want to look at today is the use of Section 188, capital A, 11 of the Labor Relations Act by whistleblowers in the workplace. So it's a relatively new provision. It was introduced in the 2015 amendments to the Labor Relations Act. And what the section does is it allows for an inquiry by a CCMA arbitrator where an employee in good faith alleges that the holding of an internal disciplinary inquiry by the employer contravenes the Protected Disclosures Act. The practical effect of the section is that it takes the decision as to whether the employee is guilty of misconduct out of the hands of the employer, and it places that decision in the hands of a CCMA commissioner, who's obviously seen as more independent and unbiased. The issue of whistleblowers is particularly pertinent at the moment. We're struggling in South Africa with endemic levels of corruption. And as we've seen from inter alia the Zondo Commission's work, whistleblowers provide an invaluable service to society when they expose wrongdoing and criminal conduct. However, the consequences for whistleblowers can be severe, and they're often subjected to intimidation and harassment by their employers after they've blown the whistle. So there is protection for whistleblowers. We've got the Protected Disclosures Act that I've already referred to, and then also the Labor Relations Act also provides protection for whistleblowers. In terms of the LRA, we see this particularly in the automatically unfair dismissal and the unfair labor practice provisions. In terms of Section 187.1H of the LRA, a dismissal is automatically unfair if the reason is related to the employee making a protected disclosure. And you all understand the effects of an automatically unfair dismissal, the remuneration or compensation rather that the employee is entitled to is doubled. In terms of Section 186.2D, it provides that it's an unfair labor practice if the employee makes a protected disclosure and then is subjected to an occupational detriment by the employer other than a dismissal. So less well known is the Section 188A11 process that we've spoken about. But will a court assist an employee who relies on Section 188A after an inquiry is already commenced? So this question arose in the recent Labor Court case of Tsibani and the Estate Agency Affairs Board and others. It was an urgent application to interdict an internal disciplinary inquiry by the employer. So I'll briefly take you through the background. The chronology is quite important here because the court looked at that quite closely. And then I'll look at what the court considered in its findings. So Ms. Tsibani was employed by the Estate Agency Affairs Board as a management accountant. And in September 2019, she submitted a report to the board which contained serious allegations of impropriety. This related to irregularities in recruitment and the appointment of service providers. There were also serious allegations of corruption and maladministration, and she accused several senior staff members of running the institution into the ground. She contended that she'd made these disclosures in terms of the Protected Disclosure Act. Her allegations were then investigated by the board, and they were found to be baseless. To make matters worse for Ms. Tsibani, she ignored company protocols and she went directly to the media with these allegations, and she also made a report to the Department of Human Settlements. The board, unsurprisingly, decided to bring disciplinary action against her. Unfortunately, the COVID-19 pandemic intervened and nothing much happened in 2020. Finally, on 17 March 2021, she was issued with a notice of the allegations against her. So on 23 March, she attended the first sitting of the disciplinary hearing. She came to that hearing with her husband, and he was allowed to sit in as an observer. At the start of the meeting, she raised a number of technical issues. So she wanted the chairperson to recuse himself. She also said significantly that this hearing should be conducted by the CCMA in terms of section 188A11. And she also asked to be legally represented at the inquiry. So the chairperson considered her requests. The request for a section 188A inquiry was dismissed. He did, however, grant her request for legal representation, and the hearing was then postponed to the 14th and 15th of April to allow her to get legal representation. On the 14th of April, when the proceedings commenced again, she again called for the recusal of the chairperson and also the initiator. And she wanted another postponement so that she could get legal representation. And she also asked for documents that she's previously requested from the board, but which hadn't been given to her. So the chairperson rejected the request for a postponement because she'd already been given an opportunity to find legal representation. However, he did order that the board provide her with the outstanding documents, and the hearing then resumed the next day. And at that hearing, the charges were read to her and she pleaded not guilty to the allegations. On the following day, the board called the CFO as its first witness. She testified over 2 days, but they couldn't finish her evidence in the time allotted. And they then adjourned the hearing for the 28th of April when she continued her evidence in chief. It was also set down for the 29th, but she wasn't available that day, so they interposed the next witness in the proceedings. That witness also didn't finish her evidence, and the hearing was again postponed to the 3rd and 4th of May 2021. On the 3rd of May, the second witness proceeded with her evidence in chief, and the following day she was cross-examined by Ms. Tsibani. The hearing was then postponed by agreement to the 14th of May, and Ms. Tsibani then told the chairperson that at the next meeting she'd be bringing an attorney with her. So on the 14th of May, she arrived at the hearing, accompanied not only with an attorney, but also with an advocate. And at this hearing, her advocate raised the concern that the disciplinary hearing constituted an occupational detriment. And he requested to make an opportunity, he requested an opportunity to make written submissions on this point. The chairperson agreed, and he instructed them to file their written submissions. He allowed the board to then reply or to answer, and then the Ms. Tsibani and her team to make replying submissions. And this process was to be completed by the 28th of May, and he then postponed the matter to the 3rd and 4th of June for further hearing. But rather than delivering written submissions, what Ms. Tsibani's team did is they then referred a Section 188A request for an inquiry to the CCMA. On the 3rd of June, they attended at the hearing, and the advocate then asked for a postponement because of the fact that they'd referred the Section 188A referral. This request was declined, and a new witness was called to testify. This witness also didn't complete her evidence, and they then postponed the hearing to the 5th and 6th of July 2021. So what's important here is that you can see that Ms. Tsibani and her legal team are participating in the proceedings. However, on the 10th of June, Ms. Tsibani approached the Labour Court on an urgent basis, and what she wanted was a stay of the disciplinary proceedings pending the conclusion of the CCMA proceedings in terms of Section 188A11. Her argument essentially was that there was a dispute about whether there had been a protected disclosure. They wanted the CCMA to determine that issue first, and if there was a protected disclosure, then the CCMA should hear the matter. And if it found that there wasn't a protected disclosure, their position was that only then could the disciplinary inquiry proceedings continue. So with what courts normally do in urgent applications is the first thing they look at is, are there grounds for urgency? So Ms. Tsibani's case on urgency was that the matter was inherently urgent because the disciplinary inquiry was continuing, and that the board had refused the request for a stay of the disciplinary action against her. And if the hearing was to proceed, she would not receive a fair and impartial hearing. She also argued that she qualified for protection in terms of the Protective Disclosures Act, and she told the court that it was only after she was able to consult with her legal team that she was told about Section 188A11, which we know is not true because she raised that on the first hearing of the matter. The board argued that Ms. Tsebani had not acted in good faith by invoking the Section 188A process at such a late stage in the disciplinary proceedings. And they contended that her urgent application was brought, or rather, sorry, the Section 188A referral was brought to delay and frustrate the internal disciplinary inquiry. The board argued that there were no grounds for urgency. She'd known about the disciplinary hearing since 17 March. And what they argued is that she should have enforced her rights in terms of Section 188A11 as soon as she knew about the inquiry. It also pointed out that she, on the 23rd of March, had in fact requested the inquiry in terms of Section 188A, and that when that request was refused by the chairperson, she then should have enforced her rights to come to the court. They also argued that the disciplinary hearing had made significant progress and that the parties had already committed to more days for the hearing to finalize that process. So the court considered these arguments and it applied the legal principles that one would ordinarily do to urgent applications. So when an applicant approaches the court on an urgent basis, they effectively want an indulgence from the court to give them preference over other litigants to prevent imminent or irreparable harm to them if the court doesn't intervene. Urgency isn't there simply for the taking. You have to explain in detail the reasons for the urgency and why substantial relief can't be attained through some other mechanism in due course. The court is also very clear in this matter that self-created urgency will not be entertained. So in other words, if you don't come to court immediately, as soon as you know about the harm, you will risk that your application will fail on grounds of urgency. So for Ms. Tsebani's arguments on urgency to be sustained, she had to have acted with due haste when she first became aware of the potential harm, and she also had to show that she had no other relief. Unfortunately for her, the court didn't buy her explanation that it's only after she consulted with her legal team that she first became aware of the Section 188A11 procedure. As I pointed out, she had already made this request for the procedure at the commencement of the disciplinary proceedings before her legal team came on board. After that, she'd actively participated in the inquiry after the request was refused. The court then looked at whether she'd shown that she had no substantial redress in due course. And as I've already explained, the LRA has the unfair labor practice and the automatically unfair remedies for employees that have made a protected disclosure and then are still subjected to an occupational detriment as a result of that. The court obviously found that these remedies were still available to Ms. Tsebani. The court then had a closer look at Section 188A11. And as we've seen, the section entitles an employee who's about to be subjected to an internal disciplinary process and who alleges in good faith that the hearing contravenes the Protected Disclosures Act to request that the inquiry be conducted by the CCMA in terms of Section 188A11. The court held that in those circumstances where it's been done immediately and it's in good faith, etc., that if an employer refuses to hold a Section 188A inquiry, that the employee would be entitled to approach the court for an interdict and an order directing that the inquiry actually be held in terms of Section 188A. In Ms. Tsebani's case, however, she wanted to interdict proceedings that already started and in which she'd actively participated. A request for the Section 188A11 hearing was only brought 3 months after she was notified of the charges against her. Also, the court looked at what she was actually asking for. Section 188A11 doesn't envisage holding two parallel hearings. A Section 188A11 inquiry happens instead of an internal disciplinary hearing. She'd asked for a stay of the disciplinary proceedings pending the Section 188A inquiry, and the court found that it couldn't grant her the relief that she'd requested because that was incompetent relief. Section 188A11 isn't intended to determine whether there's been a protected disclosure. It's actually there to determine whether or not the employee is in fact guilty of the allegations against them. Also, in this case, the court found that the holding of a Section 188A11 inquiry wasn't practical, as to allow for it would mean that the same charges that were already being considered were going to be considered again. So what Ms. Tsebani was asking for, the stay of the disciplinary proceedings pending the Section 188A11 process, was effectively asking for two processes to be held to test the allegations against her. And the court found that this would be contrary to the provisions of Section 188A and highly undesirable and also prejudicial to the parties. So the court dismissed the application for lack of urgency and also found that because Ms. Tsebani had brought the urgent application after the urgency had already passed, and because her application was premised on an incorrect interpretation of Section 188A11, that costs would be appropriate in this matter. It's quite a serious step for the court to take, considering that she's still employed and that the court ordinarily wouldn't grant costs orders in those kinds of circumstances. So the two real takeaways for me in respect of this case. Firstly, Section 188A11 isn't there to determine whether there has been a protected disclosure, but rather it's an inquiry into the conduct or capacity of the employee that's conducted by the CCMA rather than the employer. So these processes aren't parallel, nor do they follow from one another. It's either or, one or the other. And secondly, if you're going to approach the Labour Court on an urgent basis, do so as soon as possible. If you know about the potential harm and you don't do anything about it, the court's unlikely to help you. I hope that this was helpful. And until next time, goodbye and stay safe.